Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the movie Mission Impossible 1 minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Jonathan.
Oh, this is going to be so confusing.
All we need is another Chris, and it's Jonathan and Chris and Jonathan and Chris.
All right.
That voice you hear is Jonathan Carlyle. He is a friend from the Princess Bride Minute. Welcome, Jonathan.
Oh, it's great to be here. Princess Bride Minute, that was a fun one, but we are all done with that, but so you can listen to every episode.
Sad, but also happy. How did it feel to finish it?
I didn't know at first. I was looking forward to the break, and I had to take a few weeks to actually feel it, and so now it feels good. Now I'm ready for the next thing.
And what are you working on next?
Steve Lasto is my co-host on Princess Bride Minute, but we're going separate ways. We're going to double our pleasure. So he's going to do his thing and I'm going to do my thing. And he's doing X Minutes and covering the X-Men movies. And I'm doing UHF.
That'll be great. Nice. We're here for minute 71. This minute begins with Luther telling Ethan four yellows and ends with our last shot of William Donlow staring at a giant knife. Actually, that's not our last shot of William Donlow. We get one more shot, one more tiny little William Donlow. But this is pretty much our last acting William Donlow. All right, let's talk about it. Well, this is the minute where we actually get to see the wrist audio display going and using the most colors. We've got four yellows and one red. Luther's giving Ethan and Krieger a play-by-play, and he's telling Ethan to get moving. And Krieger is still straining with the weight of Ethan. Ethan's been pulled back up from his death-defying drop to the floor where he caught his own sweat, and now slowly and gingerly pulling the floppy disk out of the drive. And outside, William Donlow and his wife, Mrs. Donlow, are putting their key cards in, and we're about to the whole mission's about to go kablooey.
Is that his wife?
No,
that's what we decided.
Determined it's okay. His wife. He spent all his time there, so she has to be his wife.
Yeah, no marriage could last through being in that white room. He's been in there for like 2 years, so. Only if your wife was outside that room would it work.
I like it. Well, they definitely, that makes sense because they definitely seem comfortable with this whole process. I've noticed that through these minutes that as he's putting his key card and all that stuff, like the screen is flashing directions, but they don't care about that. They've done this so much. Their cards are in before it's asking for them. Their cards are being pulled out before it's telling them to pull them out. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's like a Starbucks. You put your card in, you're like, this thing's red. I don't have to wait on it to tell me to take it out. I know it's approved. We're all good. This is a weird minute in that Krieger seems to gain superhuman strength in about 12 seconds.
Well, the rat is dead, so you know.
At the beginning of the minute, he is he's killed the rat and eaten it and taken its power. And now he has the proportional strength of a small rat. So He's now summoned this. It's like that scene. Here's a good reference. Remember the movie Rocket Man?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember at one point the other actor is stuck under a rock on Mars and he says, "Call me mommy." And he's like, "Why?" So I can summon the strength to carry you. And I think Ethan is calling Krieger mommy to get him out of there because Krieger summons strength and just yanks Ethan 70 feet straight up.
Yeah,
in one pull, and it's amazing. You're like, Krieger, where did this come from?
Yeah, I always
been hiding.
I always assumed he had to have some other mechanism that actually did the pulling, but even then, he had to have it braced so it didn't pull him through. Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't figure that out. I figured you guys would know the answer.
Yeah, that's some powerful, some very, very strong ventilation ducts right there. They're just like able to yank that hard up, and nothing is moving up there.
Jonathan, the answer to a lot of problems in this movie is that they just weren't written about, and they're just plot holes that weren't ever shot. So that's a lot of times the answer to this is, oh, what kind of mechanism was he using? Well, you've told us that Jean Reno was holding it up, and you've made it very clear that when he lets go, he falls. But now it magically works like a mechanism would work if you had mechanical parts to it. Like, it winches up faster than a winch can pull
someone.
Yeah,
it's just like crazy how fast it goes up.
I have a feeling there were like 15 roadies.
Yeah, exactly.
15 grips outside the scene, just outside the set. yank as hard as they could on this thing. We also need to talk about the audio gauge in this. The audio gauge from the setup, it's one of the most iconic things. We've had it as tech of the week before. This is one of the most iconic pieces of tech in this movie. It kind of stinks because I don't understand when toast is, because I thought if it got into the red, that's toast.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I guess because red still has four bars, so maybe, you know, one or two bars is like lightly toasted, but four bars is burnt, and you would just want to stay away from burnt.
This gauge is a lot like the Back to the Future 3 logs. There's a red log,
a yellow log,
there's a blue log. Yeah. The red log, once it hits that red gauge, that's when the red log explodes. The red log doesn't explode once the gauge gets all the way through the red. So that's why I feel that it's ill-defined. they could have easily been like, if you get over two reds, toast. You know, but they didn't. They don't do that.
No. He's like, once you get into the red, you're toast. And that was it, you know? So it's like, you know, and they're making a lot of noise trying to get him up there.
Yeah, when he pulls him up, you can hear like a like a whole thing, like a trapeze artist, I guess what trapeze would sound like. And about halfway through the minute, Krieger says, merci, after he is handed the disc by Ethan, and then drops the knife.
Yeah, see, I don't always hear people correctly in movies, especially if they have an accent or something. So I know he's French, and it makes complete sense that he says merci, but I always thought he said messy. Like he was,
me too, that's exactly like was, what I thought.
So. Yeah. Because
like he's
it
being
almost,
very messy.
Yeah, like he's giving it to him. And it almost makes more sense because he's just that kind of guy. That he's it was his fault completely, but he's still giving it to Tom Cruise. Yeah.
Yes.
And exactly. Then after he says messy, he drops the knife and makes it even worse.
And that's how I saw it. But I never thought he was saying merci. I thought he was saying messy.
Well, he's from Spain, so his French isn't perfect. Jean Renault is not a native French.
Yeah, his name is Krieger in this, so he's supposed to be German.
Yes. I don't know.
Like I said, it's that Sean Connery, you know, a mentality of I'm Spanish Egyptian, but I speak with a Scottish accent.
Oh, Highlander rules.
Yes, Highlander
rules. So is that what we're calling?
That's what we're calling it.
Highlander rules. All right. I invoke Highlander rules.
I'm going to be doing that all the time now. I invoke Highlander rules. Nope. There can be only one. Go away.
I'm gonna go to a wrestling match. I got a sword in my jacket. Let's get down
in the parking garage now.
This minute also has Jonathan. You are here for the one of the first CG minutes in this movie.
Oh,
that knife is computer generated.
Oh wow!
Not when Krieger's holding it, obviously, but sure. When it falls, it is it's ILM's own John Knoll.
Ah.
We talked about the visual effects supervisor way back in like minute, I don't remember, four, five.
Yeah, three or four.
Yeah, he did this shot and did it through ILM. They built this thing in a computer graphic because they wanted, there's no way to follow the knife and make it look good. So they built it in after De Palma had shot this movie. De Palma had shot the shots the way the knife was going to come, and then they designed the knife to mimic the different angles.
Well, it looks beautiful. I kind of wondered about that, but
it for 96, it looks really nice. Yeah.
Is that why they picked that knife? I've been kind of wondering about his knife because it. I don't know anything about knives. It just looks. I don't know. It looks really clean, but it doesn't look. I don't know. It looks like it should do more.
And it's very distinct, and I think that has a payoff later in the film.
That's true.
It's a Microtech Halo, but it's modified. We talked about this like way early, like in the teens, because we saw this knife before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spoiler. This knife showed up, and it was the knife that stabbed Claire and Don and Galitzin.
Galitzin, yes.
Yeah, he stabs Galitzin with this same type of knife. And this is the knife that I think Ethan also saw when Krieger tried to kill the security guard 2 weeks ago. So this knife falls. And as it's falling, both Krieger and Ethan are looking down like, oh my God, what is going to happen? And right then, Dunlow and his wife turn off all the countermeasures. The floor goes to black and the knife thuds into the table with a nice thick sounding know, distinctive thud.
And very straight up, too. I mean, the chances of it actually landing in there like that is, it's pretty impressive.
I assume knives have balance to them, so the knife was balanced in some way where it's tipped down. It's fine. Because when you throw a knife, you want it to, you know, hit him with the pointy part.
Yeah.
That's what I learned from Game of Thrones.
Oh, gotcha.
The pointy end goes in the other man?
Yes.
It's funny that you said that there, you know, plot holes and stuff like that in this movie, because at least watching this minute and a lot of the minutes this week, I was actually impressed with a lot of the detail, or maybe it's detail that I was forcing to make sense. One thing I liked about the rat is silly. The fact that he's so scared of the rat. I don't know. Is that even set up in the rest of the movie? That he's scared of rats?
He's allergic to rats, but okay. We only know that because we've read the book.
Okay.
There's a horrible book. You may get to hear some of it this week. When it comes out, it is dirty. It tells you information, but it's also written like a romance novel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so weird.
It's very Harlequin romance.
My voice changes when I read from it, so you may be lucky enough to hear that this week.
Yes.
Well, I thought I don't know, watching this probably like the sixth time around and taking my notes, I was like, hey, I wonder if the dead rat is like a foreshadowing, because it's Krieger up there with the rat, and then we see the rat is dead. You know, if that's anything towards the end of the movie, that Krieger himself is the rat.
Yeah, we were saying that last week too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about how the rat is a metaphor for Krieger.
Going with that, when we see the knife fall, I was noticing that we see the clock on the wall, which I don't think in a lot of these shots, we don't see it in every shot. So I thought maybe I was kind of looking at the time. So right now it says 10:01 when everything's done and finished. It started at 9:51. Nothing really with that. But the 1001, I was trying to figure out if that meant anything. And
if it was code and like code. Binary.
Yeah, yeah. A binary, I did look at that. I did not really come up with anything. But just looking at it from an electrician point of view, like the symbols, you know, one would be on, zero would be off. So you get one on, one off, one off, one on. So that's two on and two off, basically. And thinking like the main people that are involved in this little escapade, that there's four people and there's two on and two off. A little more foreshadowing there.
I like that.
Yeah, I did too.
It's also a palindrome.
Yes. And I like that.
It's symmetry. It's a butterfly. 1:00:01. Well, as we've watched through the minutes over the past week, this time has skipped every 2 minutes, every 1 minute.
Yeah.
Because we've been watching it minute by minute, and in every minute last week, it skipped by doubles.
2 minutes, yeah.
It was like 9:54, 9:56, 9:58. And we're like, but we're only in 5 minutes. How can it go six? So now it's 10:01. So it took him from the moment he downloaded it to that, he downloaded it for 3 minutes, which seems like a long time.
But it is the 90s, so, you know, it could have taken that long to download, you know, like 72 megs.
So I've got a couple of things I wanted to talk about at this point is the IMF. They're famous for leaving things at the scene of their missions.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning of the movie, they leave glasses everywhere. In this scene, they leave a knife. They're really not the best at covering their own tracks.
No, not at all.
They're messy.
And they also don't take care of the keystroke log, which we'll learn about later.
Yeah.
How you tell if a file's been downloaded. And I would have thought the amount of time he had in there, maybe he could have done something. That would have been cool if Luther had a keystroke wiper that just, you know, completely cleaned the last 5 minutes so that nothing would have happened since Donlo last sat down. But, you know, I get what I get.
That would have probably taken like 5 more minutes to do the wipe.
It would have. Here, my other question is, did Krieger drop that knife on purpose?
Yeah, that was my other question, too. I feel like he did.
Like he did?
I do. I feel like he did.
But until just now, you thought he said messy.
Yeah.
So.
That doesn't mean that he didn't do it on purpose, though.
Knowing what we know about who Krieger really is later in the movie, could it have been in his best interest to get caught? That doesn't seem right.
No, but maybe he was trying to get Ethan caught.
Maybe. So this room. So they're doing all these things to, you know, not drop his sweat on the floor, you know, keep his temperature down, all that stuff. Is there Is there actually countermeasures in this room, or is it just security?
Well, not a physical countermeasure, no. I see what you're saying now. There's a giant button that says countermeasures. It just locks.
Oh, so,
the countermeasure
so it's just a
lock. It locks you in.
Okay. Yeah. It doesn't release a gas or anything like that.
It may. They never brought it up, and they probably would have brought it up at some point. You know, when Ethan's going through his plan, Ocean's 11 style earlier in the movie, he kind of runs through all the things that could happen, and he doesn't mention gas. I mean, gas would be smart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just floods the room.
Yeah, because even if you've got, you know, if you've got somebody that can break into that place, they're probably, you know, probably somewhat dangerous, especially if they're trapped. So you think you wouldn't want to just lock them in, that you'd maybe want to gas them out or something, so when you walk in, they're not attacking you.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Maybe magnetize the floor or the walls, and you just fly into it.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a harness of any kind, any metal. That's not bad. I like that. I've actually not thought about the countermeasures. What? The countermeasures are, it just stays locked. It's already locked.
It's already locked.
It just stays locked.
You know, and they did something similar to that with in Mission Impossible 5, you know. They had the gas in that little room that knocked him out.
So if your only countermeasure is that the room locks, the room is already locked. If someone can break into that room that's already locked, and the countermeasure is that it locks, what does that mean? Because if they break in, can't they break out?
they broke in somehow with that door, so they're going to have an easy way out now. It's actually going to be easier for them to get out because now nobody can get in to see them.
Sure, yeah.
Look, Jonathan, it looks cool. That room looks cool.
It does look cool.
We can't talk about the fact that it doesn't make any sense. Don't tell me that the last 2.5 weeks of my life have been a waste of time talking about this room.
Probably one reason I asked that is, do you guys ever watch the TV show Chuck?
Yes.
Have you guys already talked about the similarities or the things that they take from this movie and other spy movies?
We have not talked about Chuck once. Congratulations. Please, let's talk Chuck.
In season 3, episode 7, Chuck versus the Mask. It's the museum episode where they do this whole hangy thing, and you know, a couple characters have to hang down from the ductwork to grab the thing. But in that room, they do have actual countermeasures. They do have a gas, and that comes into play in the episode. And they, you know, the doors lock, and I think that might have been about it. But
yeah, at least they learned from this movie, you know.
We'll have to link that on this episode so we can go watch it. I'm going to go watch it right after we tape, before tomorrow. But that I love Chuck, and I can't believe we have never brought up Chuck. Up Chuck. We talked about Throw Up last week for like 5 days.
Yeah.
I loved that show, and I think part of it was because it was Mission Impossible.
Yeah, they stole from everything, but it was fun.
But it was always supposed to be he was always supposed to be stealing, because the whole point of Chuck was that he had the superpower to recall anything, and part of that is Mission Impossible movies and probably the real way that Mission Impossible is done.
Right.
You know, the real spy stuff that makes doing a kick or being able to balance yourself from a room. Oh God, that show. Now I'm going to have to go. I have to go watch the whole thing again, Jonathan.
I've got the whole thing on DVD, so I can mail them to you or something. I don't know.
Just make copies of them.
Yeah.
Wait, can we say that on a podcast?
No, you cannot. You're going to get arrested.
Oh my God.
Now they know where to find you.
You know, you're speaking of Chuck. We had talked about way early on that, you know, the things that were pulled from the other movies that De Palma pulled from. Another one you can watch if you're not going to watch Chuck or any of the seasons of Chuck, a single movie you can watch is Topkapi, Topkopi, Topkapi.
Topkapi.
It Jules Dazin did it. It's a director, and it's about a con man who gets mixed up with a bunch of thieves, and they rob a museum, a dagger from a museum. They do this move. They go through the ceiling. They are suspended. Now I don't have what in front of me what year it was. So this is a long time ago.
This would have been in the 60s.
Yeah, this would have been one of De Palma's 1964. So yeah, De Palma definitely was coming up at that point. So he would have known about this.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So this wasn't the first movie to have the hanging thing. Well, it definitely, at least in our generation, I guess it seemed to own it, and everything seemed to steal from this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's not about who does it first. It's about who does it best.
Yeah.
And Mission Impossible does it best. So now it's the meme. Everyone knows this look of Ethan wearing black.
And you know, it was cited by the creator of Mission Impossible as the inspiration for the series.
Oh, Top Copy. Top Copy?
Top Copy yeah. was his inspiration. So, right. Of course, it makes sense that they would do it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And that's where, and this minute ends with a knife sitting on the table. Yep. So, with this minute wrapping up, we can go to our favorite part of the episode, the tech of the ep. But a little fun note before we do that, Jonathan Carlisle is the person who put this music together. So if you've been enjoying Tech of the Ep's little stinger, I gave Jonathan a piece of crap audio that I had, and I said, can you make this sound better? And he's the one that made this sound better. So enjoy his work. Here it comes right now. Jonathan with a beard and glasses, who's not me, let's talk about Tech of the Ep. What's your Tech of the Ep?
Tech of the Ep. You know what, this computer? Did they make a case for this, or was this something that already existed? Because they really cleaned this up.
Supposedly this is a Cray computer, so it's a specific type of computer. Yeah, these were built to spec at this point in 96. These would have been built to spec for the government, and they would have had drives probably behind them and little air conditioning ducts. And you know, it's all custom. The case on the outside probably cost more than all the computer guts on the inside.
Yeah, because it looks nice. It looks clean. But it looks like something that was made to go around it. So that's cool.
Yeah, I love how it form fits everything. The phone fits into this case. The monitor, which is terrible and tube, fits into it. The floppy disk drive, the hard disk drive, the trackball. Everything looks really nice. For 1996, this is a pretty sweet computer. Chris, what about you? Tech of the app.
I'm going with the CGI knife.
Mm-hmm. CGI knife.
The John Knoll CGI knife that he probably made with his very own Photoshop.
I actually know that he used the program called Electric Image.
Ah, cool.
Electric Image was used at that time by ILM. It is a $7,000 or $8,000 program that did 3D rendering.
Cool. Because I know he was one of the creators of Photoshop, so that's why I joked about it.
For all you Photoshop heads, you can enjoy Chris's reference. The rest of us are like, well, I'm a Photoshop head. I just didn't remember that he invented it, helped invent it.
Royalties.
So, yeah, my tech of the app is also the CGI dagger. I think we're going to have to go with CGI dagger. I think we're going to have to go against Jonathan.
No, that's fine.
And say
it. No, that's good because it looks so good. I didn't know that's CGI, so I'll go with that.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, yeah, we have a rule. If it's a knife and there's other tech in it, you can't, like, pick it. But since it's not a real knife, it's not a knife. That's not a knife. Oh, what do you mean? It's CGI. You know, so. All right, well then, that's a great way to wrap up Tech of the Ep. Well, that's going to wrap up Minute 71. Jonathan, do you have any plugs?
The PrincessBrideMinute.com. You can go there. You can find all of our episodes. You can binge right through the whole movie. If you want to go to Facebook and Twitter, our link's there to discuss things with us. Everything's on the website. So thePrincessBrideMinute.com.
Fantastic.
Very, very cool.
You can always reach us at Minute Impossible on Instagram, Min Impossible on Twitter, and on Facebook, we're the Impossible Minute Force. Until tomorrow with Minute 72, I've been Jonathan, number one.
I've been Chris.
And I've been Jonathan, number two.
Oh, you're Jonathan, number one in my heart.
All right.
Jonathan, number two. This minute will self-destruct.